Hello, my name is Dr. Samuel Kim.
And I'm Sharon Kim.
And welcome to Research Sense for Korean American Therapy, a podcast that removes barriers and gives you a rundown of the latest Korean American mental health research.
Today's article is entitled Acculturative Strategies and Mental Distress Among Asian American College Students: The Role of Asian Values Across Acculturative Strategies. This was written by Hannah Sah, Jessica Gordon, and Bridget Nelson, and Lisa Flores. This article was published in 2020. So what is the background for this article?
You know, I really liked how this article started off talking about how the Asian American population just exploded between 2000 and 2010. And I think they didn't have access to more recent census data, but it grew by 46% between 2000 and 2010 and was considered the fastest growing racial and ethnic minority group in the country. And that's a lot of people coming in. And that provides a basis for why we need to think about this people group, this Asian American group. And this article looks at it from this lens of acculturation. So let's define that for our audience there. Acculturation, as defined by this article, is how much you associate with the host culture. So in this particular instance, is how much do Asian Americans adopt the US culture and how American, so to speak, they are. That might be a term you're familiar with, the acculturation, but there's another term on the other side called enculturation. That's spelled with an E. And that means how much you associate with your heritage culture. So if you're Korean Americans, how Korean are you and how much of a link you have between those? So acculturation's more on the American side, enculturation's more to your Asian heritage, country and host culture. That divide, I think, kind of defines this whole model of how we understand where someone is in terms of them being culturally. So if you're good in both, like you're well embedded in both Korean and American culture, we would call that integration, but we don't like that term. We like bicultural. So you're like, yeah, I'm kind of enjoying both worlds and I do both things. Let's say you're neither. It's like, you know, I don't identify with America. I don't identify with my heritage culture. Then that's considered that marginalized group. So having both, neither. And then if you're more towards the US culture, we say that you're kind of in this assimilation group. You've assimilated into the culture. And then if you're kind of low on the American side, but you're very, very connected with your heritage culture, we call that separation. So don't worry, you don't need to memorize those terms, but acculturation, how American you are, enculturation, how much you identify with your heritage culture. I think those are the two terms that will be important to know as we move forward.
This paper wanted to know, how do Asians living in the US adjust to America while balancing both their Asian heritage culture as well as the host culture? And how does that process of acculturating to a new, adapting to a new culture, and also maintaining and balancing your heritage culture, how does that contribute to your mental health? Such as, does that help your self-esteem? Does that help your well-being? And does that contribute to your anxiety?
Yeah, it's a big question. It's like how American or how Asian you are. It's weird to think about. It's like how much of an influence that could have on your mental health and different things. But that's what this study decided to look into. So for a lot of instances, I've heard a lot of anecdotes and stories from friends who were born in the US, but their families were immigrants. So first generation Korean Americans or Asian Americans. And they talk about how they don't understand their parents. They don't get them. Like they're so different from them. And it's like, oh my gosh, why can't you be like, and so and so. And the question is like, could that affect that person's view of themselves? Could it affect how they feel about themselves and have other problems moving forward?
One thing that I found super interesting in this research article was to learn that Asian American values are not necessarily bad. Like I was thinking, not that they were bad or any culture is entirely bad or good, but I was thinking, oh, you know, Asian American value of repressing your emotion must be bad for your mental health is what I thought. It was very simplistic, but according to this literature, it seems like the majority of the studies really say that they can relate more to their heritage culture than the American culture, Asian values actually do help their mental health. And that was super interesting to find out. For people who were more, let's say, part of the Korean culture, right? And they're in that group, the separated group. For them, the value of, let's say, self-control and humility can have a positive effect, a protective effect on their mental health. Isn't that so strange? Does that make sense? I was blown away by this.
Yeah, it's such an interesting thing because when I was growing up, it's just like, oh, Korean values are so old-fashioned. That's what old people do. And frankly, that is what I saw growing up in the US. It's the older generation were the immigrants, and so they had these strong values, whereas people in my generation who are younger were born here, and so they've adopted more of the Western values. I remember growing up, my father had a rule for me. I think I might have been 10 years old at the time. He said, "You do not speak English in the home. You only speak Korean." I brought this up with my dad not too long ago. He says he doesn't remember it. And I'm just like, sure, Dad. Like, that's a very dad thing to do. But I think that helped me maintain connection with my Korean heritage. And then as I thought back to my past, I recall being sent to Korea very frequently throughout, especially my high school and college years. And looking back, I see that my parents did that because they wanted me to have that connection with my heritage culture and build that relationship with my cousins and relatives out there.
My parents had a rule where they told me, you are to marry a Korean. You will never marry a non-Korean. And that was in high school. I was very rebellious in high school. So I told myself, I will never marry a Korean then. And guess what happened? I married a Korean American. I got my portion. They got their portion of what they wanted. And we are both happy. No, my parents now say, you know what? Actually, let's not stick to that rule. And that's what it turned out. My siblings actually married non-Koreans. So wow. I think parents also change with us, right? As they grow up, they're also growing up as parents.
But your husband is also very delightful. And also to clarify for our audience, even though we share the same last name, we are not related, nor are we married.
Right. Yes.
You know, that's something I wanted to ask you about, Sharon. You have a very unique background. It's not just Korean American. You grew up in Paraguay. You even spent some time in China, Korea, and then here in the US. It's not just Korean or American culture. Mm-hmm. It's like you have all these other things mixing in. So how did you make sense of all of this? And like, how do you see yourself in terms of acculturation and enculturation?
I think that's an excellent question, and it's a very difficult question too. I think I see more of myself as a global citizen. That's an identity that I decided to adopt for myself instead of really being a citizen of any country. Obviously, I am a citizen of one country, but I think internally, I see myself more as an international person who has picked up values from many, many different places. And I think my parents and my upbringing, my family was very much entrenched in the Korean culture. And that's why I think I said in my previous episode where I feel like the majority of me feels Korean, whereas maybe like 20% of me feels international. And it's like a very much a hodgepodge of different cultures that I sometimes can't even identify. Where does this come from? But I also really identified with some of the things that they said, where going back to the research article, they were saying it's not just how much you're acculturated to the host culture or enculturated to your, you know, heritage culture, but it's also your gender plays a role. Your generational status plays a role. So gender, that was really interesting to find out that Asian men are, you know, one study found out, this is just a study, a very small study, so we can't generalize, but one study found that men were more attached to Asian values than women were, but Asian women experienced stronger social expectations to stick to the traditional culture. And that is something I definitely resonate with, where I found that my brother would have more freedom to be less Korean less traditional Korean, whereas I was asked to be this quiet, submissive woman, Korean woman. And that was the only definition of a acceptable woman. And so that's something that I was like, oh, it's good to see that they're studying about this, because that's definitely our experience as women.
It's as if the men are allowed to go and explore, exactly. But the women's like, no, you stay home, you stay close to us, you're not allowed to go out there and like do anything. You know, it's really interesting, because one of the ideas that I had growing up was the older generation, they wanted us to stay close to our heritage culture. And that's something that they talked about within the articles. Generational status plays a role in acculturation, particularly the second generation want to acculturate more towards the American culture much faster. And whereas the first generation parents or older generation, they want to kind of stick more or keep on to that Korean culture. And I find that to be true for my own personal experience, except one part of my family. My grandfather's sister, so my great aunt, hated Korea. She just, I think, had a horrible time right after the Korean War and just saw Korea as this impoverished, horrible place to live. So when she came to the US, I think, and this is just an assumption, I think she pushed the value of assimilating. So just completely adopting the American culture and pretty much ignoring their Korean heritage as they move forward, because my aunts and uncle on that side, they do not speak a lick of a Korean, like none whatsoever. To the point, I mean, think about it. That's like my parents' generation. Apparently, there was a story about where they made kimchi jjigae once. And that aunt and uncle's like, what is that smell? That's disgusting. Oh, it's like, that is not something I would have expected from that generation of Korean Americans.
Right. So it really depends on the acculturation process or the enculturation process of your parents and how they try to pass down their values to you. So if their value was, as you said, they want to completely assimilate to the American culture and they don't want to pass down in Korean values, then their children are going to be more likely assimilated into the American culture.
Yeah, I think it's for the majority part, yes, the older generation wants to stick to the Korean culture and the younger generation want to be more Western, but I think there are a few significant exceptions here and there as well. So back to the study, we've gone on so many tangents. Let's talk about how these different acculturative groups or how Korean or American you are affects the mental health of people. So let's look at how the research was conducted.
There were 161 college and graduate students who completed the survey, and they were the participants, and their ages were from 18 to 52 years old. Great for that person who's, you know, lifelong learner. I love seeing that. And there were 30% of them were men, 70% of them were women, 60% of them were second generation, 30% were first generation, and then the rest were fourth and above or third generation.
The majority of the participants were identified as Chinese. Second most was Filipino, then Korean, Taiwanese, and then a lot of other Asian groups that were a much smaller percentage. So they asked a lot of survey questions within this to measure the different things. So they had a measure looking at how much acculturation you had, so how American you were, and how much enculturation, so how Asian you were. And they also had a survey of looking at what Asian values do you still carry on? And lastly, they were looking at mental health. And so they looked at mental health by looking at two scales. One was looking at anxiety, and one was looking at levels of depression. So that's how they looked at mental health.
The procedure was that they contacted 50 universities and their Asian American student associations at those universities and sent these surveys out, and 161 college students and graduate students filled them out.
I just want to take a moment and really appreciate that. They sent this to over 50 universities. I mean, that's a lot of work and coordination and looking up who to send it to at all these places. So this is pretty remarkable, because a lot of studies tend to be at like one, maybe two universities.
Exactly.
Let's talk about what they found.
The majority of the participants, when asked to do this survey, right, they were asked if they were assimilated to the U.S. culture or enculturated. And the majority of the students that they surveyed were part of the bicultural group. So they both felt like they identified in the American and Asian culture. And then it was followed by the separated group, where they were identifying more on the Asian culture. And then the assimilated group, there were some assimilated group members as well who identified more in the US culture. So just make sure that as you hear these results, that they were mostly people who identified in both cultures.
And that's such an interesting finding, that the second generation Asian Americans, that they identify themselves in both cultures. A lot of them found value in both. And I think that's really important to point out, and especially as an encouraging statement to the older generation who are like, oh my gosh, our kids are going to forget about their heritage cultures. Like, no, we are very interested and want to hold on to our heritage.
Yes. Although I must say that they were more likely, second generation and up, they were more likely to assimilate themselves more to the American culture, as, you know, which is natural. We probably expect that.
Since we spend so much time in the American culture, like with our schooling, with our work, with our friends. Mm-hmm. So it's not unusual that we will be more assimilated, or meaning we're going to be more part of the American culture than our previous generations.
It was also interesting that they found that men were more likely to be classified into the bicultural group. So they identify with both American and Asian values. And then women were more likely to be classified in the separated group, which is they identify more with the Asian values. And they think of themselves more as Asians than Asian Americans.
Yeah, that goes back to what you were saying earlier about the difference between your brother and you. It's like, it seems to be this similar narrative that's happening. Mm-hmm. So what do they find in terms of their mental health, in terms of like these different groups and how American or how Asian you are? Well, a little surprising, there were no differences in the levels of anxiety and depression across the three groups. And the three groups were separated, so meaning that they're very Asian, there's nothing of the American culture they wanted. Assimilated, so they're very American, didn't want anything of the Asian culture. And then bicultural, you have both. They didn't really have too many people in the marginalized group, which is neither American nor Asian. But across the three that they had, they didn't really find much of a difference.
Which was surprising, because I think there were previous studies that showed otherwise, but this one seemed to say that there were no differences. But what they did find was that certain Asian values actually can help certain groups and actually, you know, hinder certain groups in their mental health distress.
Yeah, for example, one of the things that they found was the Asian value of emotional self-control. I mean, I don't know about you, Sharon, but I was told growing up, it's like, you just need to tummo, or just like, hold it in. It's like, don't express your anger, don't express your frustration, just hold it in and smile. Not surprisingly, that value, or sticking to the value of emotional self-control, was related to mental distress. It's like, it doesn't make us feel good. And we kind of have some more problems with it, especially for those of us who are a little bit more acculturated to the American culture, like we see, and we're a little bit more embedded in the American culture.
And on the other hand, remaining humble, controlling your emotion, those Asian values actually related to better mental health for individuals who adhere to their culture of origin, so to their Asian culture. So I think it was fascinating to find that all these values can play different roles in the mental health of depending on how acculturated you are to the Asian or American culture, right? And so one of the rationales that, you know, the researchers were trying to explain this, why is this the case? And one of the things that they said that that really made sense to me was that adhering to Asian values may be beneficial, even protective for individuals who are more highly attached to the Asian culture. So for instance, if I'm a Korean and I identify myself more as a Korean than an American in America, then what's going to happen is me sticking to my Korean values will actually help me in my mental health distress rather than hinder me. Mm-hmm. Whereas the same values, right, the humility, controlling your emotion, that's just as Dr. Sam explained, that's going to hinder the mental health and well-being of people who are more assimilated to the American culture.
I guess another way that we can summarize this is, if you're trying to make someone what they're not, you're going to cause problems. Like if they identify as more American and you try to push Asian values onto them, it's going to cause mental distress. If they're more Asian and you try to push them to be more American, that's also going to cause problems. Like those Asian values are helpful for those who self-identify as being more Asian. So that's a lot to think about. And it's so nuanced. It's not just like, oh, you know, how acculturated you are or how enculturated you are. It's like how Asian you are or how American you are is not just a black and white thing. It's a whole spectrum. And within that, there are all of these little dimensions and how it affects us. What are the implications for therapy? Like, what would this mean for someone who's working with an Asian American? Well, first, it's important to think beyond just how American they are or how Asian they are. Yes, it's an important thing, but how does that work? And how does that person see themselves? And frankly, it's not that simple either. It's like, it's not just how Korean or American you are. I mean, you're a prime example of that. You've gone and lived in so many different countries that there's so many different values and perspectives that you have. It's not that binary. It's not just one or the other. Rather, it's more important to think about what are the values that that person holds? Like, what are the things that are really important to me? And where do those tensions come from? So let's say, for instance, I'm more acculturated, so more embedded within the American culture. It's thinking about what values do I have and how the values of emotional control and humility, does that cause me distress? Like, do I find that uncomfortable? It's like, because I'm trying to be good to my family and heritage, but I'm also doing what I think is right. And that's a tension that may have to play out within a therapeutic session.
Yeah. And not just in therapeutic sessions, right? But I wanted to remind all parents who are listening, Asian American parents or Asian parents, that some values that you are trying to pass down to your children and that can be a source of strength for you may not necessarily be a source of strength for your children. And they actually may cause a lot of pressure on your children because they are more assimilated. They're more likely to be assimilated to the American culture. And so that's going to create, as Dr. Sam mentioned, that tension inside of them. And so make sure as a parent, you have that safe space to talk about these things. Hey, you know, this is what I'm trying, let's say like the value of humility. This is what I grew up with as a parent when I was a child. And this is what I'm trying to teach you, but hey, how does that come across? What are some things that you, how do you view humility? You know, things like that, I think would be very much appreciated.
And then the last thing I want to say, especially to those parents out there who, you know, have kids that were born here in the US, just because a Korean American associates more with the American culture does not necessarily mean they have completely rejected their heritage. I cannot tell you the number of people that I know in both in family and friends who could not stand Korean food growing up, but they love it now. Like, I hated kimchi growing up. Now I have to have kimchi at every meal. Otherwise it doesn't feel like I've eaten.
Is that more age or is that more culture?
hey. So that's just a point of, I think, encouragement. And just to say to the parents, it's, yeah, just because you associate with one does not mean the other has been completely rejected. Even if they say it's like, ew, I don't want to eat that. Just give it a little bit of time.
I think you're right, Dr. Sam. And I think we're both the proponents of try to keep your Korean heritage, like love your Korean heritage, love your Korean parents and your grandparents. And, you know, I think there is so much richness and beauty in having a lot of different cultures and being able to keep them and value them. And so continue to teach your children these Asian values or Korean values.
But don't push it on them and make it oppressive to them. Exactly. So do this or else.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's just like, hey, this is important to me because this has helped me through these kinds of things. Or even share stories about your immigration, like what you've went through. Mm-hmm. Kind of like what we talked about in their last episode. Talk about some of the discrimination and things that you experience here in the US. And that would be a great way to connect with your kid. All right. Well, we spent a lot of time talking about this article today. We're getting ready to talk about our next episode. And I believe our next article's entitled The intersectional prototypicality model, understanding the discriminatory experiences of Asian American women and men. Oh, that sounds like a mouthful. We'll see y'all next time.
See you.
Bye.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed our episode, please subscribe to our podcast and check out more at mustardseedgeneration.org
and samuelykim.com. To keep these episodes coming, rate and share on wherever you listen to this podcast. Thank you.